Okay, let's see. Sichos Haran Os Mem Zayin. Tzarech Leze Zechiyah Gedola. Says Rabbi Nassan, in the words of Rabbeinu, Rabbi Nachman, Tzarech Leze Zechiyah Gedola Sheyizke Liyashev Atzmo Sha'achas Bayo. A person needs great merit, great schus. A person needs to be very fortunate to be able to have a Sha'achas Bayom, an hour a day, or maybe a period of time a day, it doesn't have to be an hour per se, that he's able, liyashev atzmo. What does that mean, liyashev atzmo? Well, it could be like sitting, right? It could also be having a meditative moment, being able to have yishuv hadas. When a person is standing and walking around, you're a little more all over the place. When a person sits down, it becomes more contemplative. So then a person is called being in a state of yishuv hadas, his mind is settled. So a person needs a great schus, liyashiv atzmo sha'achas bayom, v'shiyah lo charata al masha tzrichin li'escharit. And that he has the time to think, that he even has the time to slow down his life a little bit, to be able, and without rushing on to the next thing, if you make a mistake, do you even have the time to realize you messed up and to think about why you messed up, to think about how I can try not to mess up next time? Or do I just keep running and running from one thing to the next? Ki lav kol echad zocheh liyashev hadas eiza shah bayom. Because not everyone has the opportunity, not everyone is zocheh. I don't think Rabbi Nachman is saying it's something that happens on its own, right? Not everyone is smart enough to realize that they need to spend the time doing such a thing. Ki hayom holeich v'choleif v'over etzlo v'ein lo penai liyashev atzmo. Afilu pam achas kol yemei chayav. What an intense line. He says, because the days run by and pass and change, and a person doesn't have the time to slow down, sometimes even not once in his life. Then he's an old person at the end of his life, and he says, if I could go back to being a kid, if I could be a teenager again, if I could be in my 20s again, if I could be in my 30s again, oh, the choices I made in my 40s, my 50s, my 60s. Be a 90-year-old man reflecting on the entirety of his life and realizing there was no stage where I was fully present. I was racing through the whole thing. I'm 37 years old. I feel that. I'm sure some of you feel that if you actually take this piece to heart and think about it. You know? Guys in YU sometimes are just like, can't wait to get out of YU until they realize, wait a minute, that was what? That was great in YU. I had it so good in my life. And sometimes I'm just not where I want to be. I'm always somewhere else. My mind is somewhere else. The Baal Shem Tov told us, Yaakov Yosef quoted in several places, and many other tzaddikim elaborated on the idea, that the place where your mind is, that's where you are. So if your mind is somewhere else, that means you're not really here. If you're thinking about what you're doing this summer, then you're missing out on the opportunity to serve Hashem in Chodesh Mar Cheshvan in Yeshiva Sarbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan. But unfortunately, this is what happens. Life runs by. Again, Hayom Holeich V'Choleich V'Over Atzlo. The days just seem to pass by, and he just doesn't have the time to think and to contemplate and to better himself. Kind of just running from one thing to the next. Al Kain Tzrichin Lizgaber. I was talking to one of my friends last night. He came to pay a Shiva call to my mother and my uncles. I wasn't there at the time, but he lives in Englewood, he called me on the way back. And we were saying, we haven't seen each other in so long, it would be so nice to get together. And I knew he was coming for Mincha, so I was hoping to catch him. I missed him, I didn't get to see him. So I said, we really need to get together. So we were trying to figure out, you know, like, Lamaisa, when can we get together? So he said, what's your schedule? Like, is Motzei Shabbos work for you? I said, I think Motzei Shabbos in general is good. I said, but this Motzei Shabbos, I'm booked. Said, I have a date with my daughter this Motzei Shabbos. She's like, wow, you go on dates with your daughter? I said, no, not often enough. I said, but this Motzei Shabbos, I made a date with our oldest daughter, Gabriella. She's in seventh grade now. I have a daughter who's in seventh grade. You know, you got to slow down a little bit and not miss out on your children growing up. There's a lot of things in life that you just get busy. So I said, I'm not available this Motzei Shabbos. I already have a date scheduled. He's like, where are you guys going? I said, I don't know. Somewhere fun. I don't know. I'm open to suggestions. Yeah, but you have to slow down. You have to slow down. You can miss out on the people who are closest to you, spending time with the people who are closest to you. You can miss out on spending time with, listen to this, yourself. You can miss out on spending time with yourself. Did I tell you that awesome line that I saw in that little saver that Belville gave me? Remember the little huntress thing you gave me? Sfiras HaOmer? Yeah. Wow. There's a line in there from the late Mashgiach from Lakewood, Rav Wachtvogel. Rav Nosson Wachtvogel said that a Jew could go, this is the strongest line. This is one of the strongest lines I have in all my collection of my Makamos. This is one of the strongest lines I think I ever saw in a book. Rav Nosson Wachtvogel said a person could go 70 years. Anyone say Kiddush Levana this past Motzei Shabbos? Kiddush Levana, we say Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. Rav Wachtvogel, who was the Mashkiach in, Mir? Lakewood. Mashkiach in Lakewood. The late Mashkiach in Lakewood. Zatzal. So Rav Wachtvogel said, a person could go 70 years of his life saying Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem during Kiddush Levana, and not once in his life has he ever said Shalom Aleichem to himself. Now, once in his life has he ever said Shalom Aleichem to himself. Is that what that means? It just means that like life takes over and you just roll through and you never stop to say, hi, how are you? And you're not talking to someone else. You're just trying to get to know yourself, just being self-aware. That's what Rabbi Nachman's talking about here. To carve out a little bit of time, Sha Achas Bayom, again, maybe literally an hour, or maybe as the Sfarim say, Sha'ah means to turn. Right? Maybe a moment. A shah could be also a moment, like it says by the carbon of Cain. Like Cain brought his carbon, Hevel brought his carbon, Hevel's carbon was accepted. What does it say about Cain's carbon? Back in Parshas Bereishis, long ago. Vel Cain, vel minchaso lo sha'ah. To Cain and his carbon, God did not turn. So turn means to pay attention to focus on. Can I focus on what I'm doing with my life for a couple of seconds a day? Forget an hour b'chol yom. How about, have I ever turned to face myself? Have I ever looked myself in the mirror and had a conversation with myself? Or not looking in the mirror, having a conversation with myself? Have I ever said Shalom Aleichem to myself? For 70 years I've been saying Kiddush Levana. Have I ever once said Shalom Aleichem to myself? Such an important idea. Hakein tzrichin lizgaber liros liyache lo p'nai liyashev atzmo heitev al kol maisav asher u'osa ba'olam. And therefore a person needs tremendous strength, a tremendous fortitude and concentration and focus to be able to what? Again, to carve out that time, to have that clarity, that peace of mind, to spend those meditative moments thinking about my place in the world. Am I spending my life? Am I living my life? Livalos. You see the word livalos? Is it roilo livalos yamav? Livalos means to, right? To what? No, not confused. I mean, it's related. It's related to the word bilbo. Mm-hmm. Right? Livalos?
It's to hang out and eat.
To hang out? Okay. But it's a mindless hanging out. Right? Livalos means to decompose, to wither away, to waste. Livalos yamav v'masim ke'elu. Am I wasting my life with the things that I'm doing? Interesting, the month that we're in, and the Navi is referred to as Chodesh Bul, Beis Vav Lamed. Those who were here yesterday got to understand some really fascinating things about Mar Cheshvan we learned yesterday. So the Navi refers to Chodesh Mar Cheshvan as Chodesh Bul. Right? Livalot. Where things start to what? Where things start to decompose, where the leaves are falling off the trees, and the earth is looking rather lifeless. That's what happens in Chodesh Mar Cheshvan sometimes. As a Jew comes out of Tishrei, where a Jew is on fire, and a Jew is energized, and a Jew is Yerach Ha'itonim, as it's referred to, the strong month, and now you're like, you're schlepping. You're whittling away your time. So Rabbi Nachman says, can you at least stop once in a while to make a cheshvan and nefesh? Can you reel in your thoughts for a couple of seconds to ask yourself how you're doing? And because a person doesn't have that yishuv hadas, v'afilom yesho lefam eiza yishuv hadas, and even if we have a few moments of clarity, of Yishuv Hadas, again, where the mind is settled, Ein Hadas HaMayushav Marech Zman Etzla. But that clarity, that mindfulness, doesn't last very long. It's not Marech Zman. It doesn't last a long time by him. V'seikaf U'miyad Cholev V'over Hadas Mimenu. And immediately he's on to the next thing. Even if he's contemplated for a few moments, but immediately his cell phone buzzes or rings or whatever. Or an email arrives. And even those moments where he's trying to be focused, we still feel like even when I'm consciously making an effort to be present and to be focused, I'm still not as there as I want to be. It's hard to be chazak, v'takif. Takif means strong. I'm not able to be there as powerfully as I'd like to be there, as present as I'd like to be. Because of that, we don't recognize Maven. Maven is a deep understanding, right? Chachma, Bina, and Das. Chachma is the beginning of understanding. Bina is a deeper understanding, where I can extract something, where I can infer something. So Rabbi Nachman says, Ein mevinim shtus ha'olam. I don't grasp, I don't understand in a deep way the stupidity of Olam Hazeh, some of the foolishness of this world. I can go years and years and years and years just bouncing around. Just, you know, becoming what I'm supposed to become because my society says that's how I'm supposed to live my life. Who says? It's a challenge the norm. To think differently, but I don't think. So how do I have an opportunity to think differently if I don't think? But if I was able to what? To be mindful and to be strong in my mind and to be able to have those moments of yeshiva das. Again, literally, yeshiva, to literally sit down instead of just running. To literally sit down. Yeshiva das, that my mind should be seated, so to speak. It should be settled. Let's sit down and have a conversation. I'd very quickly come to realize when I analyze, certain things become so obvious that why on earth am I doing this? Why am I spending so much time on this? This is so not important. This is so irrelevant. Why am I interested in this? And how much time am I giving to it? Even if I am interested in it, let's say I write it off as like downtime or a break or an outlet, and we all need those things, right? But at what point is it like? Not just a break or an outlet. At what point is it like an essential component of my day and my life? How many hours am I spending on it? How much time am I thinking about it? What could I be doing with that time otherwise? Very interesting example he gives here. Specifically, he says, Beprat, the taiva, the desire for a person, you'll see why this is super relevant, reading a sefer here that was written 200 years ago, or published, and the ideas were shared even longer ago. Published first several hundred years ago, 200 years ago, to be able to see, you know, how true what he's about to say is in our world today. The taiva, the desire that some people have, lios mefursam, to be what? Mefursam?
Famous,
public, well known. To pick up more followers and more friends. Ulahaniga olam, in order to imagine as if I'm the one who's spinning, you know, who's spinning the world. As if I'm the one who's guiding the world. V'linsoa al medina. Hakol hevel ru'us ruach. That a person thinks, he's traveling here, he's traveling there, he's doing this, he's doing that. He wants to be known. Wants to be famous. Wants to be well known. I told you the other day the story of Avner, the Talmud of the Ramban, who wanted to be famous, so he went into politics. And the Ramban said to him in that tragic conversation on that Yom Kippur, had you stuck with me, you'd be famous. You tried to become famous, so you're not famous. My uncle was saying at the Shiva house 2 days ago, he said, my grandfather was like a very unassuming person, but he was very cool. But my uncle says that the rule of cool is that if you think you're cool, you're not cool. Like, if you're paying attention to the fact that you're cool, then you're not cool. If you think you're cool, my grandfather, not for a second in his life, thought he was cool, but he was super cool. Grandpa Joe was super cool. My brother Doddle said it in his Hesper, like, we always thought, like, Grandpa worked for the CIA, you know? Like, he was always a little shady in that kind of way, but, like in a cool way, like a really cool way. Yeah? But he never wanted to be more forced. He had no interest in being, you know? And people are so worried about what other people say, and everyone wants other people to see their pictures. Why can't I just go on my family trip? Why don't I need to post my family trip? Spend time with your family. What if you have to show everyone else about your family trip? Just enjoy your family and go on your trip. What is that? The desire to be mefursam. You know that the Magid of Mezrich, there's a little sefer called Rachamei Ha'av. Quoted it a couple times. Not this year. I don't think we mentioned it. Rav Yaakov Katina. He was a Rav in Chust. He wrote a little sefer, which was really his last will and testament, which was meant for his children, and then later they published it. He didn't want it to be published, but eventually, like as time went on, they published it. So it's a gvaldik little Musar sefer, very insightful sefer. So he writes in there, he says the Maggid of Mezrich was punished, that he became famous. You think the Chazon Ish wanted to be discovered? Chazon Ish didn't want to be discovered. The biggest punishment for the Chazon Ish when they found out about him. He just sat and learnt and learnt and learnt and learnt and learnt. When they figured out who he was, and they got the word out, right? He signed things Ish. He signed things Ish. He didn't want anyone to know who Ish was. But when they saw the writings of Ish, they said, "Whoa, who is this guy?" So the Chazon Ish, against his will, became famous. The Tribune Rav. When the Tribune Rav came to Eretz Yisrael, no one knew who he was. He had been in Siberia, he came to Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't even dressed in anything that looked or resembled in any way rabbinic levush. And they discovered him, they found him. They found this genius, this Torah genius, hiding out in Eretz Yisrael. And of course, they got the word out, and he was one of the Gedolim, one of the greatest voices in his time, in terms of deciding some landmark decisions. So the Maggid of Mezrich, the student of the Baal Shem Tov, didn't want anyone to know about him. He didn't want anyone to know about himself. So I read in the Sefer Rachmei Av that you know why he was punished? One time the Maggid of Mezrich traveled on Chol HaMoed. Now you're allowed to travel on Chol HaMoed. Anything that's Tzarchei Moed, more or less, you're allowed to do within reason. Let me take that back. You can't do whatever you want on Chol HaMoed. It's going to be too confusing. You're allowed to travel on Chol HaMoed. You're allowed to travel. He traveled in a wagon. You're allowed to, you can't drive your car on Shabbos, but you can drive your car on Chol HaMoed to go on a Chol HaMoed outing. So the Maggid of Mezrich once traveled somewhere in Chol HaMoed. But in Shemayim, it was decided that it wasn't really a tzarech. He didn't really need to go on that trip. You know what his punishment was? You know what the punishment of the Maggid of Mezrich was for traveling unnecessarily on Chol HaMoed? I don't know if it was Pesach or Sukkot. You know what his punishment was? His punishment was that he became a foursome. That people found out about him. They found out he was a tzaddik. He wanted to be a hidden tzaddik. You don't have to know about him. So Rabbi Nachman says, while the real tzaddikim are trying to hide themselves from the public eye, they're not looking to get the respect of others just for the sake of their own honor. They're happy to sit and learn and do mitzvos. And if no one says, "Wow, you're great," they know Hashem knows they're great. So Rabbi Nachman says, sometimes we get this bug in our head. We just want people to know about us. We want to be famous. And the plight of the famous person, of course, is that as time goes on, no one cares about you anymore. When our son Yaakov was in the hospital 2 years ago with very bad strep. He needed to be on antibiotics for a couple of days. So it was Hanukkah time, at least by our calendar. It's another holiday by their calendar. So some retired NFL players were coming around the hospital giving out Hanukkah gelt, or Xmas presents, to the children. So a couple of really tall but like no knees left, schleppy football players were coming around, and they're wearing like their jerseys with their names on the back. And I'm sure at one point these guys were the center of attention. They're like, you guys are irrelevant. I didn't say it to them, Chas V'Shalom, but like, you're irrelevant now, like. Like, no one cares that you played for the Giants in 1964. Like, who cares? Okay, if you're in the Hall of Fame, so then, like, a little bit your fame, like, lingers. But, again, you're still, like, you're not in the game anymore. And that's probably a very painful thing. That's why you find sometimes athletes and actors and people who were once, big time in the spotlight when they were before some. When they're no longer before some, so they're constantly looking for ways to escape reality because they don't have a sug of sitting in the corner and zugging to Tehillim and that being a meaningful experience. If I'm not Mefursam anymore, so I'm going to end up, I don't know, snorting coke and then going to jail like 17 times and then getting into a drunken car crash and becoming a big bizayon to the fact that I'm a human being. So it's terrible. So Rabbi Nachman says, it's stupidity. Just think about it. If we would think, we would realize that a life of avodas Hashem is all that really matters. Ki be'emes ein shum tainug v'nachas ruach afilu bolam haza. You just want more and more. You become popular, you become famous, and now what? And now what happens? So now you can't even, you have no yeshiva das. An athlete can sit at an airport and have a quiet moment. You just sit and like read the paper if you want. No, people come over, they're hawking him. I want your autograph, they want to talk to him, I want to take a picture with him. Wherever you go, like there's no place to have a quiet moment. So even in this world, it becomes nothing other than what? Mala yisurim uvizionos. It becomes nothing but but frustrations and eventually disgrace when some scandal, you know, rocks your reputation. Who wants that? Who wants that? Become a foursome. Says Rabbi Nachman in conclusion, Gam kvar hochiach es echad me'anoshim ke'ela, she is avel yos b'foursome v'amrlo. Rabbi Nachman once gave mussar to people, or a specific specific person, who wanted to become a foursome, who was trying, he was very busy, he was traveling, he was trying to gain a reputation, he was trying to get out there. Halo lo, Rabbi Nachman said to him, Halo lo tuchal afilu levarich birchas hamazon be'emes. Once you become famous, you can't do anything be'emes. You can't even bench in an honest way. You know why? Ki titztarich b'chol ma'asecha l'chavin shiyaskabu ma'asecha be'enei v'nei adam. When you bench, right? Again, he was talking obviously to a person who was becoming more beforesome as a rabbi. So Rabbi Nachman said to this tzaddik, to this person, you can't do anything emistic anymore. Because you always have your disciples, you always have people watching you. So when you daven, when you bench, people are watching. So you close your eyes a little more, you shuckle a little more. Now you could say, well, if people are watching, maybe that motivates me to do a better job. But Rabbi Nachman says, but it's not emistic, because you're not doing it for God, you're doing it for the person who's watching. You can't even bench Bemis, he told this person. You're always worried. In all of your actions, you're thinking about, are people going to like what I'm doing or not like? What's my reputation going to be like? Is my status going to go up or down? And you basically can't do anything honest anymore because you're so worried about your reputation. So nervous. What if people don't like me anymore? What if I'm not famous anymore? You built up this avodah zarah of self. Right? As opposed to what? As opposed to what he was describing in the first part, which is retreating into oneself to become more thoughtful and to be more meditative and to be more connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'emes. In the Sefer, yeah.
It's like what Chef was saying last night at the end of the thing, putting on your tefillin at mincha.
Right, putting on your tefillin at mincha. You're prepared to put on your tefillin at mincha. When that's a very clear statement to others that I wasn't at Shachar's. Now, good people will say, maybe he was sick, maybe this, maybe that. Right? A good person will be down the kaf sus. But you have the courage to publicly put on your tefillin, you have the courage to publicly put on your tefillin at mincha, knowing that other people will say, oh, he doesn't wear tefillin at Shachar's, he didn't go to Shachar's today. Or do you say, what do you mean? There's a mitzvah to wear tefillin, I didn't do it at Shachar's. It's better to wear it maybe now at mincha. Okay, so whatever. So people will say what they say. Who cares? Between me and Hashem. Right? To be honest in that way. There's a lot of pieces in this. It's a very powerful piece of Sichas Ran. There's a lot of different things we could discuss here. But just a few points, just to be ma'arich a little bit, into Rabbi Nachman, just a few ideas. When the Chidushei HaRim, the first Ger Rebbe, passed away, the Sfas Emes was very, very young at the time. And he didn't want to become Rebbe. There were Chassidim, there were elder Chassidim who wanted, of the Chidushei HaRim, the first Ger Rebbe, who wanted the Sfas Emes, his grandson, who was probably like, I don't know, 19 years old at the time. They wanted him to be the Rebbe, to lead Ger. Ger was the biggest Hasidus in Poland before the war. They wanted this 19-year-old, around that age, to take over. Sfas Emes said, I can't. I'm gonna be the Baal Eitza for the Hasidim of my grandfather, of the Chidush HaRim. You have Hasidim who are 70 years old. I'm gonna be the Rebbe. I can't. He wouldn't take it. They pressured him, he wouldn't take it. So many of the Ger Hasidim needed a Rebbe at that point. So who became the Rebbe? Who was the interim Rebbe between the Chidushei HaRim and the Sfas Emes? When the Sfas Emes, about 4.5 years later, finally accepted at the ripe old age of like 24 to become the Rebbe. Yeah? But where did everyone go in the interim? Who was the Rebbe? So many Ger Hasidim went to the Rebbe of Alexander. Rav Hanukh of Alexander. Okay, now this Rebbe of Alexander was from the same Alexander in Poland that our Rebbe of Yismach Yisrael is from. Right? But this was not the beginning of the Alexander Hasidic dynasty. There was no Alexander dynasty here because again it was just Chidush HaRim. People went to be by Rav Hanukh of Alexander and then came back to the Sfas Emes. So he's sort of trapped in this. He's sort of like a bridge in the world of. In the dynasty of the Ger Rebbes. Okay, Rav Hanukh of Alexander. We have a little sefer from him called Chashava Letova. And in the very first piece on Bereishis, are the very first piece on Bereishis. Again, one of the themes that Rabbi Nachman is telling us here is just think. Just wake up in the morning and turn your brain on. Think for a few seconds. I had such a Bilbul Dicka morning this morning. It was like so ironic that we were doing this piece today because it was so the opposite. I lived the opposite of this piece the whole morning. I was running around like a chicken without a head. Ridiculous morning. Says the Rabbi of Hanukkah of Alexander, Bereishis bara Elokim Esa Shemayim Vesaretz. What does it mean? In Bereishis, when you have your Reishis, when you wake up in the morning, B'tchilas Hayom Baboker, when you open your eyes in the morning, Odaani Lefanecha Melachai V'Kayam, Holecha Odin V'Choshev Ki bara Elokim Esa Shemayim Vesaretz. Bereishis, when you start your day, if you contemplate the fact that Bara Elokim Esa Shemayim Vesaretz, if that's the first thing you do, if that's the foundation of your life and the foundation of every day, so what's the continuation of the Pasuk? What's next? Pasuk Beis of Chumash? Va'aretz Haisa Sohu Vavo. Then the world will be Tohu Vavo. Then the world will never get the better of you. Yitzhar will never distract you from your mission. Bereishis, if you start your day by pausing and saying, hold on a second, I have a boss who I have to answer to, and I have clients who I have to deal with, and I have a train to catch, and I'm hungry, so I need to put food in my body, right? I'm talking about just the physical things that you need to do in the morning, obviously, right? All the spiritual things you have to do. But when all of a sudden my mind wakes up and I start thinking about all the things I need to do that day, so says the Rebbe of Alexander, just pause for a second. Bereishis, first things first. Just remind yourself, hold on a second. Bara Elokim Esa Shemayim Vesaretz. There's a God in the world. And once I do that, what's the next pasuk of Chumash? Va'aretz Haisa Sohu Vavohu. Then the world becomes Tohu Vavohu. Then the world will never... It's Tohu Vavohu. Come on. Tevel Avalim. Then I can have the Yishuv Adas to go about my job like a mensch. But I don't need to go above and beyond. I don't need to be so worried. What's going to happen if... I can have Yishuv Adas. I can have Bitachon. I can have Emunah. That has to be the ratios of a person's day. And if I don't start that way, and I can just go out to the world, so then I become a robot. And I'm not thinking. And then I'm not fulfilling the tachlis of my life. To be able to stop and think is so deeply connected to Amunah. That's what this pasuk is telling us. Bereishis bara Elokim. Bereishis, if you start your day by contemplating bara Elokim, then everything else is going to fall into place. The priorities will fall into place. What's important and what's tohu vavo, what's hevel avalim, will fall into place. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me a thought. I want to share it with you. This week's parsha, source number 3. V'hemin ba'Hashem v'yachshaveh alo tzedakah. Avraham Avinu becomes the first ma'amin, the first one to spread monotheism to the world, the one who recognized the Kadosh Baruch Hu in an idolatrous world and society. V'hemin ba'Hashem, he believed in God v'yachshaveh alo tzedakah. And he considered it righteousness. What's the pasuk pshat in the pasuk? Let's just review. The pasuk pshat in the pasuk is Avram believed in Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered that to be a righteous thing. God said, Shkoyach, give tzedakah to Hashem. Yechshevel lo tzedakah. Hashem considered it to be righteous. Very good. Most people don't. Most people don't do that. What does the Kotzker Rebbe say in this pasuk? Has he read it? The opposite, yeah? Who did stuck with him?
Hashem gave
stuck
to Avram,
like
letting him
Hashem. Right, the Kotzker Rebbe says, Avram believes in God, v'hemin v'Hashem, v'yechshaveh lo tzedakah, and Avram considered it tzedakah. That Hashem, wow, you gave me the biggest gift in the world. You gave me tzedakah. What did you give me? You gave me the ability to believe in you. That wasn't an easy thing to do. So, if you're a ma'amin, if you believe in God, you need to say, thank you, Hashem, for... Don't say, oh, Hashem, you owe me because I believe in you. No, thank you, God, for giving me the ability to believe in you. If you like learning Torah, don't say, oh, look what I'm doing for you, Hashem. Look how much Torah I learned. Say, thank you, Hashem, for giving me a neshama that's in a state right now that can enjoy Torah learning. You should thank Hashem for the tzedakah that He gives you. Simply the fact that you actually want to serve Him. That's how the Kotzker Rebbe read the pasuk. But I was thinking very pasha. I was thinking very pashut last night. V'hemin ba'Hashem v'yachshaveh lo tzedakah. Yeah, v'hemin ba'Hashem, Avram believed in Hashem. V'yachshaveh, so that's what we're trying to figure out. V'yachshaveh who? Who considered it? Avram considered it? God considered it? But maybe v'yachshaveh is telling us that simply the fact, v'yachshaveh, the fact that Avram thought That itself is a tzedakah. The fact that he figured out that God exists is already another level. But Vayach Shuvah, even his thinking was a tzedakah. Hashem says, wow, you're a thinking person. I'm happy to know there's someone in the world who's thinking. In the end, not only was Avram thinking, he discovered the truth. He discovered the Rabbanu Shalom. But Vayach Shuvah lo tzedakah, that even his thinking was a tzedakah. Because not too many people stop to think. People run through life without stopping to think. And that itself was a kindness. Hashem said, wow, you're thinking. Thank you. Thank you for being a thinking human being. A person who makes a cheshbon ha-nefesh. A person who's recognizing what's important and what's hevavalim. In the Rebbetzin Machlis biography, the edition they put out for children, beautiful little book. So it describes someone who came to their house, a college-age student, ate their food, enjoyed the comforts of their home, and acted like a real jerk the whole time. Every time Rabbi Machlis tried to give a Dvar Torah, this person started laughing and making, you know, snide remarks and critical comments. Rabbi Machlis was so upset that he left the table for a while, and it took his Rebbetzin to get him back to the table. He was very hurt. He was terribly hurt by the way this person was acting. He said it was one of the worst guests they ever had in their home, if not the worst. So it's recorded here. Take a look. As he walked out the door, as this guest, after eating their food and making fun of their religion and enjoying the comforts of their home, left. As he walked out the door, the Machlis' 7-year-old son Moshe asked him, why do you have that dumb thing in your nose? This college student showed up with his nose ring. Wearing a nose ring. The student answered back with a question, why do you have that dumb thing on your head? Pointing to the kid's yarmulke. Moshe answered, because I always have to know that there's someone above me and better than me. Now why do you have that dumb thing in your nose? And I know why I'm wearing a yarmulke. Why are you wearing a nose ring? The student went back to his dorm room and wrote in his diary, just imagine, that little kid knows why he's wearing a yarmulke, but I have no idea why I'm wearing a nose ring. And you know what happened? He came back. Came back for Shabbos, a little humbled, and eventually became a firm person. Became a firm person. A person who was the most critical, most negative, and the most positive like place on planet Earth, in the home of the Machlises. This person, you know, came with his angry, bitter, whatever, hate for everything. And a 7-year-old kid said, did you ever think about the reason you dress the way you dress? Or like you do that just because you're a college kid and that's like what college kids do. Did you ever think about it? And it shook him. He was honest enough to, he took it to heart. A 7-year-old kid's question, are you even thinking about why, I know why I wear a yarmulke. You think this is stupid? This is a very deep expression of my belief in Hashem. Now how many of us actually think about even why we put our yarmulke on? How much time in our life have we dedicated more than 60 seconds to thinking about yarmulke? The answer is probably no for all of us, which is fine. Right? But to just be mindful of the things that I'm doing, this is a big statement. And if I thought about what it meant, my relationship with Hashem would be different. Again, the challenge of thinking, of stopping to think. The Ramchal, from 7-year-old Moshe, the son of the Machlises, to the Ramchal in source number 5, the Ramchal, one of the greatest Jewish philosophers, maybe of all time, lived a very short life in the 1700s. Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, famous, most famous, I would say, for what? For Mesilas Yesharim, for Derech Hashem. But he wrote other Sfarim also. He wrote a little kuntris, a little sefer called Derech Eitz Chaim. And he writes it very straight. In the Derech Eitz Chaim, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to choose. We have free will. That's one of the great gifts that Hashem has given us. But he writes in the third line, "Halo Adam Rov Shnos Yamav Omid Lachshov Cheshbonos Asakav." A person spends hours and hours and hours contemplating. Should I take this class or that class in YU? Should I pursue this profession or that profession? Right, there's so many things that we spend hours and hours painstakingly contemplating and worrying about and putting time into Iskei Chayisha, the matters of this world. How much time have you wasted at the supermarket deciding between, you know, I don't know, one brand of herring and the next? Or one box of cereal and the next? I don't know, am I in the mood for Cocoa Pebbles or Fruity Pebbles? You spent more time on that than thinking about your own neshama. Yeah, so how many hours have we spent on Iskei Chayisha? The Lama, look where it's bolded, says the Ramchal. You think Besilas Yesharim has some strong lines? Look at this line. This is one of the strongest lines. Derech Eitz Chaim. Why don't you think about anything real, substantive? Why don't you spend 1 hour of your life thinking about something real? Mahu, who are you? What are you? V'lama bala olam, what are you doing in this world? Why are you here? What does God want from you? How much time have we spent on that? And what's going to come from all of this? What are they going to say about you at your funeral? What's your neshama going to look like when it returns to its creator? This is the strongest medicine, says the Ramchal, that I could give you. This is the most powerful, most potent medicine I could give you. To fight against the Yetzirah. It's called what? Thinking. V'hikala, it's easy to do if you just slow down. U'pulasa gedola, and it accomplishes great things. U'piria rav, it produces much fruit. Sheyamura adam b'chol yom l'fachol shah achas panui mishar kol machshavos. To spend an hour a day or a moment a day, freed from all other responsibilities, my cell phone turned off. Not just on silent. Lachshov rak al inyan hazesh amarti. To think about what I just said. Mahu v'lama bala olam. What are you doing here? What is Hashem asking of you, as an individual, as part of Klai Yisrael? What are you doing here? Form a chabura of people to talk to about. We started this past Thursday night in Bergenfield, in Tinek and Bergenfield. We started a chabura. It was Govaldik. Not Shir. It was a chabura. Yoni was there. Just people sat around. Some younger, some older. And people were just talking in Yonei Avodas Hashem. And I said afterwards, I said, if I get anything out of this chabura, you know what I'll get? Besides the fact that I slow down for 45 minutes a week, not to give a shir, just to talk to Jews, just to be in the presence of Jews who want to talk in Yonei Avodas Hashem, I said, at the very least, I'll daven one good ma'ariv a week. Because after sitting for 45 minutes, and slowing down and contemplating life, and talking honestly with people, many who are in the working world, many who have been in the working world for many years, older people, younger people, to be able to then be able to stand before Hashem and to have an honest conversation with Hashem. I'll daven at least one good ma'ariv a week. So form a chabura, find someone to talk to. There's a sefer called Sarfei Kodesh, a sefer called Sarfei Kodesh, which records stories and practices of the Imre Chaim. Anyone know who the Imre Chaim was? Well, Chassidus was the Imre Chaim Vizhnitz, the Imre Chaim of Vizhnitz. So in the Imre Chaim, this little sefer, the Imre Chaim of Vizhnitz, so it tells a story about Rav Pinchas Koritzer, one of the early Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. It says there was one Elul, Rav Pinchas Koritzer was making a cheshbon and nefesh. He was sitting and he was just thinking about his life. Elul is an easier time to think about life. So he was sitting and he was making a cheshbon and nefesh, and he felt like, I'm still not really making a proper cheshbon and nefesh. He was sitting by himself. And he was trying to contemplate his life. And he felt like he couldn't formulate his own life's mission statement. He needed help. So he decided that he's going to go and join his chassidim, some chassidim who are elsewhere, to go and talk to them. That they would work together on this sugya called life. What happened? The story goes that group of chassidim were sitting in the base medrash, again, somewhere at a distance. And they're sitting around, they said, you know what, they were also talking in Yoni Avodas Hashem, making a cheshbon and nefesh. And they're thinking to themselves, you know what, we could really use Rav Pinchas Koritzer to help us out, to figure this out. And the story, the way it's such a sweet little story, the way the story is brought in the Sefer Sarfei Kodesh, is that Rav Pinchas Koritzer, like split screen, on one side of the screen, Rav Pinchas Koritzer is getting up, putting on his coat, going outside, and the other side, these group of Hasidim go out, and they meet along the way. And they're overjoyed to see each other, because they were both moving in the same direction, to want to help each other, to talk. In Yoni Avodas Hashem, to make a cheshbon and nefesh together. They met at the crossroad. The Pinchas Koritzer met up with the Hasidim, because they were both, they were both thinking. They were both trying to figure it out. And they found like-minded people who wanted to figure it out. To be mindful, to be present. Rabbeinu Bechaya writes in Parshas Maaseh, in source number 6, when the Torah describes what? In the Ir Miklat. A person who kills Bishogeg. What happens if you kill someone on purpose? Big trouble. What happens if you kill someone by accident? So you run to a city of refuge. The Torah describes in several places. In three places in the Torah we find discussion about the Ir Miklat. So Rabbeinu Bechaya writes in Parshas Maaseh, V'nos Shama Rotzeach Maken Nefesh Bishkaga. V'nos Shama, he will flee there, the person who kills someone else by accident. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, Aval Eino Chayav Misa. In source number 6, take a look inside. Aval Eino Chayav Misa. But if you kill someone by accident, you are not killed. You know why? Kevan shelo hargu v'mezid, because you didn't kill him intentionally. So what? V'adin hazeh yoresh ha'alev ikar ha'adam. You know what we learn from this? The bottom line is this guy is dead, The bottom line is someone just lost a husband, a father, a friend, a brother, Rahman al-Islan. So you just go to an Ir Mikla, you killed someone. But you didn't do it with mindfulness. And that actually is going to save you in this case. Hadin azeh yoresh ha-leiv ikar ha-adam. This teaches us that the heart is the essence of man. Right? The heart, leiv, traditionally meant the mind. But we'll use the heart, referring here to both mind and emotions. But being present, being connected, being thoughtful, right? being turned on, with your brain turned on, your heart turned on. This is the essence of all mitzvos and averos. If you're rolling through life without your emotions, without your mind engaged, then we have a serious problem here. In this case, it actually helps the guy that his brain wasn't turned on, that he never intended to kill this person. And therefore, the punishment is exile, not death. Because his heart never agreed to killing this individual. And we don't hold you fully accountable until your body and your mind is present. So since only your body committed this act by accidentally killing someone, your mind wasn't there, so your punishment is going to be galus and not misa. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, where it's bolded, V'chein l'inin ha-mitzvos, ha-kol toloi b'leiv, ha-kol toloi b'leiv, everything depends on what? Being mindful, being present. Shim osa mitzvah v'lonis gavin b'balibo la'asosa l'shem shemayim, ein lo schar mizeh. What did Rabbi Nachman say? You're so busy worrying about being mefursam, you're not thinking about Hashem, you can't even bench l'shem shemayim. It goes in both directions, by the way. Sometimes if you're benching with other people, you actually bench better. And when no one's around, like you just mumble through it. Hashem's right there. What's the difference? If you do it for Hashem, then what are you doing? You can't even do a mitzvah l'shem shemayim. Where are you? Why aren't we home? Why aren't we present? The Rapshitz Rebbe, Rav Naftali Rapshitz. The Rapshitz once saw someone. They were like shuckling really hard and they were clapping really hard, you know? Shamnu, Gadnu. So the Rapshitzer said, whoa, calm down. You don't have to bang so hard. Why are you knocking? Why are you knocking on the door so hard? No one's home. Why are you knocking on the door so hard? No one's home. It was all tenuos. It was all, you know, a lot of good shuckling. His eyes were closed tight. Stop knocking on the door so hard. There's nobody. I'm telling you, there's nobody there. There's nobody home. He was telling this guy, You're not focused. You're focused on looking very front. That's what you're focused on. You're not focused on being close to Hashem. You're not focused on saying, I'm sorry for the averos. That was how the piece started, Rabbi Nachman said. To take the time to be able to have a moment of charata is hard to come by. The great mashpia of Chabad, Mendel Fortefas, passed away in 1995. Famous maisa. They tell it in different ways. The bottom line is, Mendel once saw someone walking on a tightrope. That's the punchline. And exactly where and what, that doesn't really matter. But Mendel Fortefas once saw someone who was on a tightrope. And he saw he was able to go back and forth across this tiny little rope without falling. And he said, how do you do it? He said, how are you able? And Mendel uses to explain, by the way, how when he was in Siberia, he was able to fight for his Yiddishkeit with such a clarity in the Rabbeinu Sholem. So they asked Mendel, how are you so focused? So he says, I learned it from this tightrope walker. I once saw this guy walking on a tightrope, and I could not wrap my head around it. How is it possible for a person to walk across such a little rope from such a great height and not fall? So he asked the guy, he said, what's your secret? How do you do it? So the guy said, when I'm on the rope, the world doesn't exist. There is no world below. There's nothing else. When I'm on that rope, that's the only thing in the world. And Mendel Fortefas learned from that what it means to be fully focused, to be able to be locked in on the Rabbeinu Sholem, to be present. To be fully present. Okay, let's end. Let's end very quickly. I know it's the hour is getting late, but I want to just wrap up. Okay, in source number 7, the Divrei Shmuel. It's kedai to see this line. I know I'm taking a little extra time today, but it's kedai to see this line, and then I'll just make a very quick Chodesh Mar Cheshvan connection and end with the word from Moshe Tversky, Hashem should avenge his blood. The Divrei Shmuel, the Slonim Rebbe, 1850 to 1960. Grandson of the first Slonim Rebbe, the Yesod HaVodah, of Avram Weinberg. Weinberg was the family. Vayomer Moshe binareinu v'zkeinenu neilech. It's in Parshas Bo. Moshe says to Paro, we're taking the young, we're taking the old. What does young represent? What does old represent? Says the Divrei Shmuel, Ratzalomar ki ba'avodas Hashem yesh b'chinas yimei anurim. In Avodas Hashem, there's the younger years, so to speak, the youthful part of one's life. The hainu midas hazrizus, shu ikar gadol bavodas yisbarach, to be energized, to be quick, to be able to keep moving. That's a gevaldik thing in avodas Hashem, to know how to move and how to move and how to move. It's gevaldik. Elisha oz achisaron ki berov tirdos ein lo ladam yishav adas kedabai. But for all the good things that you're so busy running of your life, you're busy with a lot of good things, a lot of good opportunities you have. Trying to figure out your connection to Torah, trying to figure out a proper profession, trying to figure out who you want to marry. These are gevaldic opportunities, and you're running, and you're busy with them. That's good, that's very good. And being busy is very good in the Avodas Hashem. But the problem is you don't have the time to what? To think, to have Yishuv Hadas. What about old age? Moshe says we're taking what? Ne'arenu uvizkeinenu. Zekeinenu, what's this? What's the bechina of Zekeinenu? Sha'oz amnam ein lo oras midas hazrizus. You can't move like you used to. You can't run around as much as you used to. Aval yesh bo midas yishuv adas. But all that time that you're spent sitting, because it's hard to get up from the chair, to get to your cane or your walker, gives you a lot more time to think, to be contemplative, to be able to meditate on life. The inyan zeh shel yishuv hadas, that's what the abbreviation stands for. This inyan of yishuv hadas, hu ikar ha'avoda. That's the essence of avodas Hashem. The running around, being spirited in avodas Hashem, is rizus, is gevaldik. When the Jews left Mitzrayim, the formation of our people, is rizus, matzah, running out of Mitzrayim. Paro finds out, ki barach, the Jews are fleeing. That's not just because we're scared, it's a sense of mission. We're running to Har Sinai. Gevaldik. But says the Divrei Shmuel, and I'll tell you that this is a theme that he has throughout his Sefer. The Divrei Shmuel of Slanim always comes back to this theme of Yishuv Hadas. Yishuv Hadas, he says, is the Ikar HaAvoda. Look at this line. You could die to wake up this morning just to see this line. Kamosha Amar Maran Rav Moshe Mikabrin. The Kabriner, as he was known. Rav Moshe of Kabrin used to say, Kishe'echar Amarlo. When someone once said to him, Rabbi, give me a bracha that Yizakeni Hashem Yizbarach lechol hapachos, that's what the abbreviation is, b'yishuv hadas. Please, I hope that Hashem will at least grant me lechol hapachos, at the very least I should have yishuv hadas. So Moshe of Kibrin said back to him, Heir lo mata omer lechol hapachos yishuv hadas. What do you mean, at the very least yishuv hadas? Harezeu akol. That's not a tangential thing, that's everything. That's the biggest thing of all, Yishuv Hadas. Right? Like, I have a checklist of all these things I want. At least, like, give me a little a little Yishuv Hadas is the biggest thing in the world. That's the difference between a person who's thinking about his tachlis in the world and a person who wakes up at the age of 90 with the regret, oh my gosh, I never thought about life. That's everything, says Rav Moshe of Kibrin. Uvezeh, left-hand column, uvezeh, ikeris gabrus hayetzer, lo laniach la'adam shia lo ma'at Yishuv Hadas. And that's one of the things the Yetzirah fights us on. Not to give us a second of Yishuv Hadas. Vafilu b'tirda the mitzvah. Even when I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm always busy and I'm rushing. And he goes on to explain in the end of the paragraph, that's why power keeps us working. That's why Paro says to Moshe, right? Bunch of lazy Jews. Nirpim atem nirpim. The Jews are acting lazy. What's Paro's greatest fear? That if the Jews just slow down for a minute, we'll start thinking. And if we start thinking, we'll realize what has become of us. And that's actually what happened in Mitzrayim. And it says, if you look at it, it says that when Paro passed away, the Jews cried out. That's what Pasuk says. Why did the Jews cry out when Paro passed away? So Rashi says, Paro didn't actually die. He got saras, and he's bathing in Jewish blood. So babies are being killed, and that's why Jews are crying. Nice drasha Rashi. Very nice. And it says, no. Paro died. And you know what happens when an important government official dies? Right? President's Day, you know, Washington's birthday. I don't know, we have dates throughout the calendar year. You know, Columbus Day. All these chashuv holidays where people get off from work. Where the garbage collection is on a different schedule and the post offices are closed earlier, closed in the public libraries. So Mitzrayim shut down and Paro died. The Jews didn't go to work that day. And you know what the Netziv said happened? For the first time in a long time when the Jews didn't go to work? You know what they did instead? That's right. They had time to think. And you know what happens when the Jews thought for the first time in who knows how many years? They cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbono Sholem, what are we doing here? They finally slowed down for one day, says the Netziv. As Mitzrayim was mourning their great leader, Paro, The Jews slowed down. They had the day off because the government shut down for the massive funeral of Paros, says the Netziv. And the Jews had time to think about their place in the world. And they broke down crying. They cried out to Hashem. They finally rediscovered their own voice. So, however, Yeshiva Das is not a tangential thing. Yeshiva Das is something you have to make it happen. And again, this is a super busy time as college is going to get busy. And some guys are going to start getting, you know, a little less consistent with coming to shir. Right? But you gotta stay focused. You gotta know what you want in this world. And you gotta carve out the time to think. How am I doing? To be honest with yourself. Right? If you miss a week of shir, like let's have an honest conversation. Let's not make excuses. Let's talk about what's going on. For real. Sometimes there's real things going on. Sometimes you're just not getting it together. We have to figure out how to get it together. How does this connect to Chodesh Mar Cheshvan? Very, very quickly. Every month has a mazel, has an astrological sign. The mazel for the month of Mar Cheshvan, the Bnei Yisachar brings in source number 8, is the Akrav, is the scorpion, Scorpio. That's the horoscope for the month. In case you never thought that horoscopes were a Jewish thing, it sort of is. It's based on the Sefer Yetzirah. The mazel, the astrological sign for the month of Cheshvan, is the Akrav, is the scorpion. What does a scorpion have to do with Mar Cheshvan? A lot of things. We spoke a little bit about it yesterday. Listen to the recording if you weren't here. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us one thing about a scorpion. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Sadi Zayin Amad Aleph, in source number 9 says, Gimel Ba'an Behasachadas. Three things catch you off guard when you're not paying attention. One of them is Mashiach, believe it or not. Because you can never be prepared enough for Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, you're going to be like, whoa, really? Even if you were thinking about Mashiach at that moment, you're still going to be shocked. Metziah, a lost object. Sometimes you find something, you weren't looking for it, you weren't expecting to find it, you just found it. And lastly, a scorpion, an akraf. Rashi says, Noshecha adam pitom. It stings, it bites a person very suddenly. The akraf represents what? The scorpion which attacks when you're not paying attention. That's exactly what Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, that's the challenge of Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. In Tishrei, in Elul, we're paying attention. In Cheshvan, we stop paying attention. We start to stop paying attention. We're not as focused as we were when we were standing in shul on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The akrav represents that which catches you off guard. So let's not be caught off guard. Let's be mindful. Let's be focused. I end with a beautiful insight from Moshe Tversky, the brother of our own Rosh Yeshiva of Meir Tversky Shlita, who was killed in that terrible terrorist attack in Harnof a number of years ago. It's brought in his biography. Another time there was a bachur who felt like testing the extent of Tversky's knowledge. I wanted to see what his rabbi knew. Wise guy. He asked a question from a certain mesechta. After Rav Tversky satisfactorily answered the query, the Bacher proceeded to ask a question on a totally unrelated topic from a different Masechta. Once again, the answer flowed from Rav Tversky with the utmost ease. By the time this Bacher had asked from a third Masechta, Rav Tversky caught on to what he was doing and reminded the Bacher about the halacha of not asking a Rebbe questions that are not pertinent to the Masechta currently under study. It's the Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara in Shabbos says you're not supposed to ask questions that are not on the topic that the Rebbe is focused on. Then in his classic self-effacing manner, he added, the Gemara says that the reason for this halacha is that we are concerned that the Rebbe may answer incorrectly and become embarrassed. By dint of his total immersion in the Masechta he's currently studying and teaching, he may forget a part of the detail regarding a question posed on something in a different Masechta. Right? In the Chazal assume, you're so immersed, you're so focused in Bava Kama that you can't answer a question in Masechta's Megillah. It would throw you off. You're so focused. My head's not in Megillah. My head's in Bava Kama right now. Can't focus on anything else. And Chazal didn't want that the Rebbe should be embarrassed when he doesn't know the answer to his Talmud's question. But Rav Tversky said that what? Here his Talmud's asking him here and there and everywhere, and he's answering all the questions. So the Chassam Sofer actually writes that if you're such a Talmud Chacham, you can answer questions in all of it. That was the truth. Rav Tversky was such a Talmud Chacham. But in his humility, you know what he said? He said to the Talmud, who was very impressed that he's answering questions in all different Masechtas, Rav Tversky said, so how is it that nowadays we answer questions from many different Masechtos? Right? You're wondering, how was I able to do all of this? Apparently it means that we must be holding nowhere. They were so focused, so you couldn't ask. They were so locked in, you couldn't ask anything other than the topic at hand. Rav Tversky, in his humility, said, but nowadays we're so not focused on anything. We're all over the place. You could ask anything, and like, you know, I guess I got lucky those three times, what do we say? It was a tremendous gadol and a tremendous honor. But again, there's a danger of being holding nowhere because you're not thinking, you're not questioning your own life, you're not asking, what's the tachlis of my life? So Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to take, this is a really, really important hour that we spent on this piece of Sichas Aran. It's really kedai. It's really kedai to slow ourselves down. Bizkeinenu. Binureinu, yes, we need to be energized. But also, Yeshiva Das is something that you have to work on. You have to carve out the time to think about the things that you did right, the things that you did wrong. Get in the habit of spending 10 seconds before you go to sleep to think about one thing you did right that day and one thing you did wrong that day. It'll literally take you 10 seconds. It'll transform the next day. You'll be able to build tomorrow today. That's good. End on a YU slogan, right? Okay, so Mirtz Hashem, we should be zocha to live lives where we're fully present and thinking about our mission in this world. Shkoyach. Okay, Bava Kama time.